Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 12. Today's guest is Marianne Jennings of AdventureCraver.com.
This is Squadron Leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey, hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast. This is the show where we talk with fellow creators about how they found their true groove in life by doing work that matters not only to them, but possibly the rest of the world. Every Thursday, we publish another conversation about the art and science of truly living a life of passion and how you, too, can do the work you're meant to do. Today's host is just me, JC Preston. I'm founder of New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping people do passion-filled work, and more importantly, giving them the resources and community to share it with others. Hey, all. Hope you've had an awesome Thanksgiving. I had a great one myself. Spent some time with both sides of the family a couple times, and it was actually quite fun, and a lot of randomness was had. We'll just say it that way. Those that were with me and actually got a chance to listen to the podcast for the first time with Kate were pretty inspired, so I hope you were too. If you missed it because you were with family, you can catch it by going to newinceptions.com/session11. Today's guest is someone I think will be memorable as well. However, unlike Kate's chat and most of our guests, we're not going to be talking too much about her business. In fact, we're going to be focusing on an awesome journey that our guest has chosen to go on. Marianne Jennings is her name, and adventure is her game. And what exactly do I mean by that? Well, let's just say that the event that she's applying for isn't something I'd be too interested in doing myself, but I can see how a lot of others might be interested. It's a once-in-a-lifetime event, and as you'll hear in the chat, I compare it to triathlons and the people who do those. It definitely takes a certain type, and I think it fits Marianne to a T. But to be honest, that's the exact reason I wanted her on the show. The thing is that we're all unique, and we all have different interests, and frankly, you should be proud of those differences that makes you different from other people. You know, we should all be able to play how we see fit. Can we make our play part of our career? I definitely think so. That's what I like to believe that New Inceptions is all about. We help you find what your passions are, and then we guide you to become a successful messenger of that passion. I think that's what Marianne is doing, and I hope doing this race will help her become more influential to the others who are afraid to step out of their comfort zone. In today's chat with Marianne, we'll discuss what she does from day to day, why it's important to remember that you should just start something and course correct along the way, and more about this awesome event that the AOL audience, you guys, can help her with. So as always, enjoy, and for the show notes, you can go to newinceptions.com/session12. If you have any questions or ideas for the show, you can let us know at heyguys@newinceptions.com. Of course, we'd love to hear from you. And I'll be back after the conversation to fill in anything we might have missed. Hey, what's up, everybody? This is JC Preston here, and I'm chatting with Marianne Jennings today. She has an amazing story that she's going to be sharing with you all, but first of all, Marianne, welcome to the show today. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing really great. Thank you for having me.
Certainly. It's a pleasure to have you on. You know, to me, it's kind of funny how we started talking about you being on the show. You had posted a message about your journey in what I'd considered a dead Facebook group. And for whatever reason, I was just cruising in there just to see if I'd missed anything from any of my fellow classmates. Lo and behold, there was your message. For those of you who might not have heard about it, I was actually in the foundation back in 2012, and I imagine you were too, Marianne. Otherwise, I wouldn't have seen your post in there, so I'm glad I looked. Anyway, I had personally a lot of takeaways from the foundation just by going through it. And funny enough, it seems when in my conversations with Brian that several of those of the things that I took away are a lot of what they're focusing in on now as their main teachings. So what are some of the things that you got out of it, Marianne?
You know, I actually have a similar story to you, and I did learn a lot of things. A few of those would be, you know, they taught us how to look for pain points in everyday situations and try to find ways to solve those pain points. And I find myself kind of just doing that automatically, and that has been very, very helpful. He also taught us how to just be bold and to get out of our comfort zone and not be afraid to, you know, do the cold calls or to talk to people and to network. And I know you learn that other places, but he really kind of had us kind of put it into action.
Didn't he?
Yeah. And then just the idea or the concept that you can learn anything. We have technology at our fingertips and people have provided so many resources and just, we can learn things, and not knowing how to do something is not an excuse to not try or to start something. And so, and then also just to get started, it doesn't have to be perfect, but just move forward, just get started. So those are the biggest takeaways, I think, for me.
Right. Right. Well, and I kind of, as my co-host John would say, absolutely, I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, the thing is that, you know, one of the biggest things that I got out of it was the practice of, as you were saying, getting out of your comfort zone and kind of like, you know, when you are thinking about doing something, you have this fear and you actually kind of search yourself. It's like, where is that fear coming from? Is it coming from your chest? Is it coming from your head? And just kind of how he went through that whole process of being like, okay, so if it's coming from your head, it's a logic issue. If it's coming from your chest, it's kind of an emotional deal. And based on that, this is how you deal with it, right?
Yeah, that was so interesting, and it was helpful.
Yeah, yeah. So as far as future, you know, I at least personally for me, I don't think the entrepreneurial bug goes away too easily. And, you know, I noticed that on, when I was doing research about you, that you're actually, you work a day job right now, and we'll get to that here in a second. But, I mean, are you still thinking about doing any entrepreneurial type endeavors in the future?
I do. Yeah. And I think it's just, like you said, it's kind of a bug. You get it. It doesn't really go away. And I think I've always had it, and I'm always thinking of business ideas. Right now I do have a day job, but I started a little Etsy store on the side, where I make what's called digital printables, and they're just useful templates that people can use, like a Word doc or a PDF or even like an Apple Pages document for things like, you know, wedding programs or place cards or escort cards. They have different names, right? Gift cards. And I've sold over 300 of them just since February. And it's just a useful, helpful thing for people who just don't have time or money or kind of a design skill set. So,
well, and I was actually kind of interested in that because, you know, I got married back in 2013, and one of the things that we had to consider was those paper products, you know, the invitations and the, you know, all the seating cards and all the different, you know, whatever, all these different things that you're going to go to Michael's or whatever and buy. And I was thinking when you were talking about that you probably are saving people a pretty penny.
Yeah.
Versus them actually going to Michael's and buying those separately. So yeah, that's a creative idea. I like that.
It works out well, and it's all digital. I don't have to ship anything, so I can do it and work my day job at the same time. So
that's cool. That's cool. So going back to your day job right now, you're working as the product manager at the Church of Latter-day Saints, and you know, as a product manager, especially at a church, I guess I'm kind of, what does that exactly mean?
No, that's a good question. So as a product manager, you have a product that you manage kind of from, conception all the way down to, you know, seeing it delivered and even down to retiring that product. And so how it ties into a church, I manage a media library that they have on their website. That's kind of my product. And It's interesting. They have thousands of videos and images and audio files. And because it's a worldwide church, they want these done in like 40 languages. And so it's kind of a unique opportunity. Not something that a lot of other companies do. Some do, but it's kind of a unique situation. And I work with some really good people. And I really enjoy it. And the product management portion of it, you know, I never saw myself doing. I had to take like a product management course in school and I hated it. There was too much paperwork and I didn't like it, but I don't know. It works out now.
Now, as far as a product manager, is that something that you specifically go to school for? Or, I mean, how did you get into that position?
Well, I actually kind of fell into it, but I think people do go to school for it. But it just kind of fell into my lap. Kind of at the church, kind of the different like tracks you can take was you can kind of manage people or you can manage products. And I'm very much an introvert. And so I was like, I'm going for the product side of things. And it just kind of one thing led to another. When I started about 8 years ago, it was just a part-time gig and just kept learning and making
yourself more and more useful as it was. Right.
And just learning the landscape and I know media and that's what I did go to school for. And so it worked out great.
Cool. Yeah. So you did go to school for digital media. How did you then know that you wanted to do that? Because personally for me, I went into engineering because I liked video games. And in retrospect, it's like, why? You know, that might not make exact sense, but if you think back to the original days of video games, when you saw these really easy, you know, Pac-Man and Pong and all these things, they didn't have game developers back then. Those people that created those games were engineers. And so when I was thinking about school, I was like, sure, because you have to know how to, you know, the controller works and all that sort of stuff and how it interacts with the TV. And so I was like, well, even if I don't get the chance to work on actual video games, at least I might actually work on the consoles. And so that's how I talked myself into getting a major that in retrospect, I have second thoughts on every once in a while. So how did you get into digital media as your major?
You know, that's interesting. So I was one of those people who I wanted to do everything. If you'd asked me when I was 8 years old, you know, I would have given you a different answer each time. It was, oh, I want to be an astronaut. Oh, I want to be a doctor, a web designer, even a firefighter at one point. And so I was just interested in everything. But, you know, I was almost jealous of people who knew that they wanted to be, you know, an engineer or a nurse because they knew. And then that was kind of their life path. And I wanted to do everything. But so after high school, I had no idea. And I kind of delayed college because I was like, well, I don't want to spend the money on something I don't know quite what I want to do yet. And then my parents were like, look, you gotta do something. And my mom actually said, look, you can't steer a parked car. You need to just make a decision and move forward. And you can course correct as you go, but you have to move forward. And it doesn't matter. Just choose something and try it. If you don't like it, you can change, but at least you'll know. And I think that was probably the best advice I'd ever received. And I did. I picked something. It actually happened to be dental hygiene. And she was right. I course corrected and I found my way to web design.
Right. Yeah, that's a big correction. You were talking about the people that have an interest in what they want to do for a good part of their career. And don't let me confuse you about what I was saying about being an engineer, because, again, I had no clue that engineers had nothing to do with making video games. Okay, so if I had known that, I probably would not have gone. I probably might have gone into computer information technology or something myself. Okay, and because that's what I'm working with today, you know. Retrospect, you know, it's, you know, 2020 hindsight. But anyway, one of the things that I've found out over the years is that a lot of the people that are in liberal arts, they usually do end up in computer related or something that, you know, was an actual job, as opposed to, you know, maybe they were studying, you know, political science, right? Brian, there you go. There's an example. Co-host Brian just didn't, I don't know. I mean, from his story, he's been designing web pages forever. And then he gets a major in political science. And then what is he doing now? Designing web pages. What is that? You know? So, you know, I think it's more common than a lot of people give it credit for, that people really don't know what they want their major to be. Maybe they go there hoping that maybe it could be like a back door, you know, or not a back door, but a second plan or something like that. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, people should think more about, but in the end it's like, well, why did I spend that 4 years in college or something like that? So, you know,
I think I learned how to learn. I think that was the most valuable thing that I learned. Was I learned how to learn quickly and pick up on things and to be teachable. And that way, because right. I mean, several of us will have maybe a couple different careers and they could be very different, but right. Learning how to learn.
Learning how to study in my perception of that. Mm-hmm. You know, because I think for a lot of American kids, we kind of go to high school and a lot of us don't know how to study. You know, we go to school, go to the class, might even do the previous day's homework in class as the guy's teaching in front of us and then turn it in, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing was, is that you never really know how to study. So yeah, I would agree with you that in college I learned how to learn as well, because I, in high school, just passed the test. And it's even worse now than it was back then. But you know, that's a tale for another time. So, anyway, you know, getting kind of back to, you know, why I want to get you on the show and talk about this awesome thing that you have coming up. And it's a very untypical event and one that I had never heard of. But as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, that is awesome. That is like, whoa. Because to me, you know, my wife, Maria, she's in the military. Okay. And, you know, I have been around triathletes for 3 years now. I'm not saying that I am one. I'm just saying that I know what their mentality is like, that they're very focused on what they're doing, like Maria in the military. And, you know, this kind of strikes me as something that's like, once you get your focus, you're on it, you're just like, I got to do this. And so I imagine this is kind of like what you're doing for this event. And this event is called the Fjallraven Polar, right?
I think so. As far as I know, I'm okay. Sure I'm butchering all right. It, but yeah.
Okay. And, you know, as I'm sitting here talking about this, again, I think it's something that very little Americans have any awareness of. And I'm just going to leave it to you to explain exactly what it is, when it is, and how you heard about it.
All right. Sounds good. So, Fjallraven Polar. I found out about it a year ago. My dad, I think, he told me about it. And what it is, Fjallraven is actually a clothing company based out of Sweden. And they put on an event. I think they started it like six years ago. But they put on an event where they choose 20 people from, 20 people, two people from 10 countries, that participate in a dog sled expedition up in Norway and Sweden. And what they do is they provide the clothes and the information, and you get to drive your very own dog sled 186 miles across the Arctic tundra. And
wow.
I know that sounds crazy, but it's just, for whatever reason, it just sounds like the coolest adventure ever. But the way it works is, so two Americans will be chosen or get to go on this event. And the first person has to get the most votes to guarantee a spot. And then the second person who goes is chosen by their jury or their committee. And the competition runs from November 18th to December 10th. But the actual dog sled experience is in April of 2016. So I'm a little obsessed about this. Like I said, I found out about it last year. About halfway through the competition, I threw together an application. I think I got about 250 votes for about 2 weeks of the competition. And, you know, I obviously didn't win, but I had been thinking about this all year long and just very focused and obsessed and just trying to really up my game. I really want this experience. So here I am again. I've applied and I am trying to get the most votes so that I can get that spot for an American.
Right. That's awesome. And it almost sounds like, you know, we were talking about the foundation, but it also sounds like something that you'd have to learn how to do to kind of do a Kickstarter.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure, you know, it kind of seems like it uses the same knowledge and know-how to get these votes to do this. So that's pretty cool. I mean, you even made a video about it that, you know, when I put it into the New Inceptions Masterminder group, had actually a few people like, oh, that's a cool video. That, you know, you got my vote. Yep. You know, sort of thing. And I was like, well, hey, there you go. So yeah, the van itself, I mean, though, sounds really, really incredible. I mean, how do you see yourself get, why did you see yourself getting into this? I mean, it just seems really, it's like, hello, left field for most people.
Crazy, you know? Right? Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, no, I've had several people ask me, why would you want to do that? Like that, it sounds so cold. And it will be, I'm sure it will be. But I've always wanted to go dog sledding and explore that part of the world. And this experience is one that you would not be able to buy. And I think that just kind of adds to the appeal to it. But I think I was able to finally articulate what I was feeling and why I'm going after this. I think I crave adventure like most people crave chocolate. And I've done a couple different things where they are a little bit crazy. I went, or some people would consider crazing. So a year ago, I actually hiked to Everest Base Camp in Nepal. With a group. I didn't have anybody to go with me that I knew. And so I just kind of went by myself, met up with a group and, you know, got to see Everest Base Camp. You know, so I really do crave adventure. I don't know exactly why, but I know that I'm happiest when I'm pursuing those adventures and kind of training for them almost, you know, because I learn things, I meet new people and it stretches me. I guess it's the challenge.
Right. And you were saying in the pre-show that one of the reasons why you wanted to go into your major as well, and I don't think we talked about that, was that you wanted to be able to work remotely initially. And maybe that this adventure that you're talking about is a way that you can kind of live that way a little bit, mm-hmm. You think?
Yeah. I love to travel. I love to see different parts of the world. And I guess the freedom to do that is also what I strive for, what I want to. And I think, I mean, my day job doesn't allow for that as much. Right. But yeah, you're right. One of the reasons I wanted to do web design and digital media for a major is because it would let me work remotely and give me that freedom to explore and kind of see what I wanted to see, do what I wanted to do.
Yeah. We had a TEDx talker on the show, Cam Adair, and I think that was session number 8. And I mean, he's considered one of those travelers. Like, he makes these videos wherever he's at, helping people with their gaming experience or gaming addiction and helping them try to quit, or not try to quit, but to quit. And, you know, he packs light and he's just traveling all around the world. And it's just, to me, you know, that I have this office, that the only way that I can get stuff done is by being in the office. It's like, man, that to me, that would be so distracting, trying to work from those awesome destinations. But maybe that's just me. So, you know, so now that we know what this big event of yours is, what exactly is the catch? I mean, what can the AOL, the Angles of Latitude audience, do to help you achieve these goals of yours?
Well, I need votes to win, lots and lots of votes. And, you know, from my experience last year, my circle of friends just isn't big enough to get me to where I need to go. And so I need votes, and I need help. I need people to help spread the word. So that's what I'm asking for. But there is a catch. So it is a marketing campaign for Fjällräven, and which is brilliant. And so when you do vote, there's a little pop-up that comes up, and they want you to subscribe to their newsletter. And you can, but you don't have to. So you can just close that window. And then the other catch is that you have to have a Facebook page. And they use Facebook, I think, because it helps them make sure that the votes coming in are from real people and not from a machine. They had some cheating last year, so.
Oh, I see. Yeah, and that's kind of interesting that you would say that, close the thank you window. I don't remember because I did it so quickly. I think that one particular site is in English, right? So if you do want to sign up for the newsletter, feel free, but you don't feel obliged to, is what you're
exactly
saying.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
I should probably tell you where to go vote if you're interested.
Yeah.
So, right now I'm having people go to sendmjtonorway.com. That's that website that I set up for this. There is a link on the homepage that will take you directly to my application page on the Fjällräven Polar site. And it takes like 20 seconds to vote. And if you did want to watch the video, you can. But yeah, that's where you go.
It is a great video for sure. So, anyway, I mean, that's great. And, you know, I look forward to hopefully that you get on the ticket over there and get to experience that. And, you know, I don't know if there's another one that's up in Alaska. I don't know if, I'm sure you've heard of that
the
one.
Iditarod? Is that the,
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that can be a consolation prize. So, anyway, real quick.
I was going to say, I tell you what, like if I win, I'll come back and we'll do another interview and I'll share the whole experience with
deal.
You.
Deal. It sounds a good deal. The next part of the conversation here, and this is something that I always ask everybody are the, Angles of Latitude rapid fire questions. And, the first one that we always ask is, what would be three things that you'd want people to remember you by?
I would say the first thing would be that I'm not afraid to try new things. I used to be, but I've really tried to work on that. And if it's just starting something new, I don't know, I can't do it until I try. And so that's one thing. I'm not afraid to try new things. And even if I am, I try to do it anyway. So that would be the first thing. Mm-hmm. The second thing I'd want people to know or to remember about me is that I think of myself as a kind person, and I try to be kind to all those around me. I know people who are kind to me leave such an impression on me and, you know, can make a bad day good. And so I want people to know that I am kind. Third thing would be that I try and take advantage of my current life situation, whatever it might be. And I say that because my life, and I'm sure most everybody else's, it has not gone as planned. It just, life does not happen as you plan it, and it almost goes exact opposite of what you plan.
Right.
And so, but, you know, hindsight is 20/20. Looking back, I realize that things have actually turned out better than I could have planned. And so just trying to, you know, I'm in a situation. Okay, let's just make the most of it. For example, I'm 35. I'm still single. And that's normal for most of the world. In Utah, I'm considered kind of an old maid, which is kind of interesting just with the landscape here, but or the religious landscape, I would say. And so, but because I am single, because I do not have kids, I can do things that a lot of people aren't able to right now. I can go on a dog sled adventure. I can take off and go to Nepal. I can go watch a movie, you know, whenever I want. But, you know, I do want a family. I do want kids. And I'm going to try to take advantage of that situation as well when I have it. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense. And no, that's, you know, that was always something that me personally, my wife and I are kind of in the same boat. I mean, that, you know, I kind of knew what I was looking for. And so I really didn't date people that, or even really hang around those that didn't kind of match that exterior thing, kind of have high standards, mm-hmm. as does she. Okay. And, you know, we're actually both the same age. We're both 34, and she's actually 2 months older than I am. And, you know, the thing was, is that like you, her coming from Hispanic background, you know, it was, she had all of her relatives have been, you know, married, divorced, have kids that are, you know, 5, 10, 12 years old at this point already. And they've gone through all of that crap. Whereas the two of us, because we did wait until our 30s to get married, because we did wait to when we actually knew who we were, it's like things are so much easier because, I mean, all we want to do is like just go out and explore and have fun together. I mean, it's not, you know, fighting about, you know, who's doing what with the kids or all that sort of stuff. And it's just, we're on the same page. And I think a lot of people that get married in their 20s don't have that knowledge. And so I kind of, and looking back, and maybe you should look at it this way too, is that you've avoided all that. You've avoided all that drama.
No, I agree. And I appreciate that. And I'm glad. I am a totally different person than I was when I was in, you know, early 20s, mid 20s. And yeah, I agree.
It's crazy. So anyway, and anybody that's listening, I mean, even some of the podcasts that I listened to, the relationship, I think it was Dr. Drew. He was saying that, you know, treat your 20s as your experimental and learning years. But then when you get into your 30s, that's when you can start looking into as far as real life decisions, you know, how you're going to execute those decisions that you made back in your 20s. And so, I'm glad that you brought that up. So, next question is, who would you say are your three favorite teachers and or experts?
That is a great question and kind of hard to narrow it down to three. But first person I think I would say is Chris Gulabo. I am actually not even sure how to say his last name, but Chris.
We know how to spell it.
Yeah, we know how to spell it. But Chris, he writes for the Art of Nonconformity blog, and he's released several books and puts on a summit called the World Domination Summit. And it's all about kind of, you know, finding out who you are and your strengths and kind of going and doing. And I've learned a lot from him. And just having a different perspective and, you know, not having to do kind of what maybe the rest of the world is doing, you know, the whole going to school and having a career, and that's a good thing for a lot of people, but there's other people that maybe that doesn't always work for them. And so he talks about how it's okay to be different. And he just has some really good, I think, advice, especially for like an entrepreneur. So I really, really like him and have learned a lot from him. And interestingly, I reached out to him. I had his email address because I had purchased a ticket to, you know, this summit. And one of the things that he does is he will actually respond to every person who bought a ticket. And there, these are thousands of people, but he responded personally to each of us and thanked us for, you know, wanting to attend this summit, which right. left an impression on me. And so I had his email address, and I reached out to him about this dog sledding experience and said, you know, would you be willing to give me a shout out or something? And he wrote me back and he said, yes, completely. And he did, and gave me some good suggestions. And again, I was just so like, who does that? I mean, this guy has like 165,000 followers on Twitter. Like, he's a busy guy.
Yeah, but because, again, what you're doing is so unique, I think that's the reason why. 'Cause, no, it's just extraordinary. You know, I think, again, anybody that's listening, don't forget to vote, because this is, you know, not let alone the fact that it's a once-in-a-lifetime experience. It's like a one-in-a-million-person experience, you know? So that's why it's cool to me. Well, so I can understand where Chris is coming from.
Well, thank you. But yeah, thank you. But yeah, it was super cool that he would do that. So he'd probably be the first one. Second one is a guy named Ed Veesters. He's actually the first American to climb the 14 highest mountains in the world without oxygen. So kind of probably a different kind of teacher or expert that you would expect. Mm-hmm. But after I did the Everest base camp trek in Nepal, and that's nothing like to what these guys are doing, these hardcore mountaineers, but it was interesting to read their stories of how they trained, you know, for these big mountain climbs, and the fears that they had and the teamwork that they needed and kind of how they overcame obstacles in their life. And so just reading about Ed and his experiences have been an inspiration, and not only just in, you know, adventures, but also just in daily life, like, you know, teamwork and challenges that you're facing, and oh, how do I face this fear? So he would definitely be one. The third one, sorry, the last one, I would say Martha Stewart, which I'm sure not everybody will agree with. And I'm actually not one of these people you would think is, you know, a homemaker and artsy and crafty. And she's amazing at all of that. And I am horrible at all of that stuff. Awful. Like, I can only maybe identify maybe five flowers. Like, I just, that is not in my skill set. But as a businesswoman, I think she's brilliant. And she what amazes me about her is her loyal following and her fans, even with serving jail time. And she even used that to kind of her advantage. She wrote a book after getting out of prison. And just talk about a person who can make lemonade out of lemons. I really admire that. And just her business skills and connecting with people and her customers and her fans, I think is brilliant.
Cool. And, you know, I think you're right. Right up there with Oprah, Martha always comes to my mind as somewhat one of the, you know, go-to businesswomen that are out there. So yeah, it's, yeah, you're dead on the money with her. Next question is, you know, if someone was interested in doing something great and out of the ordinary, like you are with your big, y'all Raven, dogs your size now, the y'all Raven Polar, what would you say, to them as far as, you know, their first steps and you know, finding and living that once in a lifetime experience?
You know, I think first off, I would say, you know, think about why you can do this instead of thinking about why you can't, because you can always come up with reasons why you can't and you'll talk yourself out of it. And I mean, not everybody's going to want to do a dog sled thing, but I know that all of us have something that we really want to do. And I would say, think about why you can and focus on that. And there are going to be people who think you are crazy and they're not going to understand. And that's okay. Because if you want it, go for it. I would also say, you know, just start. It doesn't have to be perfect. I get caught in that so much. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you do have to just do something, start something. You can improve upon it. You can make it better. And so just don't be afraid. And even if you are afraid, just start. Start today. And just keep taking those steps.
So, and just like your mom was saying, you know, just start. What was her saying?
She said you can't steer a parked car. You have to move forward. If you're moving forward, you can then steer the car. But yeah, you have to move forward.
Right. So your next one would be?
Next one would be, mistakes are only mistakes if you don't learn from them. I think about that a lot. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fail. But I feel like those are learning experiences and can be used as stepping stones. And so all of us have strengths and dreams and have that in us to do something great, whatever it might be. And so just start today and just go for it.
That's, you know, that's great advice. And, you know, really with me and New Inceptions, you know, being that, again, the engineer, it's like at least trained as one. You know, you always want to be like very certain as far as how to do something. And so I didn't necessarily like have the greatest of feeling when it came to the fact that it was going to perform the way I wanted it. Well, it's never going to perform unless you start, right? At all. I mean, 0% of no success is still 0% of success is still 0%, either way you look at it. So anyway, so next question is, what does success mean to you, and how do you go about achieving that success?
So success to me means choosing a direction and moving forward. It means getting up when you fall. It means doing something every day to get to where you want to be. And I'd also say, to me, it means being okay with who you are and learning what you have to offer the world. I think for me, success is not just one big thing that I finally arrive at. It's the little things that get us to where we eventually want to be. I feel like there are successes every day. And just kind of going back to the whole concept of just, you know, take a step. My parents are full of great wisdom. And another little bite of wisdom that they used to repeat to us over and over was, yard by yard, it's hard. Inch by inch, it's a cinch. And so again, just taking one bite at a time, one step at a time, doing one thing today will get you to where you need to be. And to me, that's what success means.
Awesome. I like that. And I think that you're dead on. And the fact that, you know, for the most part, I think people, when they hear success, and success is like, oh yeah, the person that has all the stuff. No, the success is in the journey. So no, I would agree with you for sure. So before we call it a day here, where can people find you? And if they want to help you out, or you might have future questions regarding your story.
So to find out more about me, the dog sled competition, or any of my other adventures, I have a website at sendmjtonorway.com. And then if people have questions or want to email me, my email is actually theadventurecraver@gmail.com.
Awesome. Well, Marianne, it was definitely a pleasure having you on, and hopefully we can, next time we're talking, we're hearing about your awesome, great adventure.
I hope so. Thank you so much.
Hey, not a problem. Cheers.
Cheers.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Marianne. Again, you can help her get to her Fjall Raven Polar by visiting the site sendmjtonorway.com. She mentioned a few things that I've posted in the show notes. You can find those at newinceptions.com/session12. You'll be able to find the link for her site there as well. Remember, if you'd like to subscribe for free to this podcast, you can do so via iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. And further instructions on how to do that are in the show notes. Also in the show notes, you'll find show note extras, which are little tidbits of related content that I don't post or share anywhere else. This week's extras are from Kyle Cease. If you don't know Kyle, he actually has a background in being a comedian. I recently came across a couple of videos, though, that are actually very pertinent to this session and to you guys in general. One of those videos is rather impactful, and the other one is an intro in his upcoming events that he does called Evolving Out Loud. So go check those videos out. You might like what he has to say. I also want to thank Fizzle.co today for helping us with the show. Fizzle makes it simple for you to conceptualize a business and get it off the ground, or if you're beyond that point, scaling it to a size where you can replace your day job with it. If you can't afford a big name course in how to build a business, a Fizzle membership might be the best solution you have. At $35 a month, it's very economical and has great success rates. What's really cool to me about it is that it hosts a huge community of folks who are trying to get further in their business just like you. So if you want to tap into that, you can do that anytime. Besides that, there is a crazy amount of courses you can watch at any time too. And there's a nice Fizzle Fridays that on every first Friday of the month, they actually have office hours. And then they're just there the other Fridays just to help you with things as well. So if you go to newinceptions.com/fizzle, you'll get your first month free so you can spend more time getting a feel for what it's all about and how it might be able to help you in the long run. If you don't like what you find, you can cancel before your first month is over without having spent a cent. Thank you again for listening in today. I really appreciate it, and we look forward to serving you in the next episode. Our next guests are going to be Dennis and Claudia Haddix. Dennis and Claudia are experts in e-commerce and host a meetup group here in Indy geared towards teaching others how they can build successful e-commerce sites too. In the chat, Brian and I will be talking with them about what it's like to have reached where they're at in their company and how they've been able to get to this point. So if you're into building a company based on selling products online and want a little bit of inspiration to keep you going, I think this might be a good conversation for you to check out. So until then, head on over to New Inception's website and let us know what you thought about today's session with Marianne Jennings. Also, ask any questions you might have there. Again, I'll make sure she gets to see them. So until next week, keep moving forward in your own journey, and we'll see you in the next episode. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home
at work or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web at newinceptions.com.